So I hope that it's okay with you to vibrate a little word also. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I had the name of my sermon is Hail, King of the Jews. That's what we want to say to the Lord Jesus, coming to this earth, though he was the Son of God, totally, totally a wonderful, wonderful being. Praise the Lord. How faithful. Let's look in our Bibles at the book of John, chapter 19. Jesus really did go through a lot for us, didn't he? As Brother Brad was saying, telling us about that from his writing that you've given. So praise the Lord. We're going to read from the 19th chapter of John. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. And this is when Jesus is been taken by the Romans, and they have them in terrible situation. We know that the Roman people, the enemies, all of the characters, that they did a lot of things, like pressed a great big horrible thorny thing all around Jesus' head, made it bleed. They beat him. They made him go out there and be allowed to just be beaten and hurt. But let's read this beginning with verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And this was prior to the Calvary, to going to Calvary to die on the cross. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Just what Jesus needs is a purple robe to show he's Jesus Christ. And he said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Terrible, terrible to think of our Lord studied having all of that and just have such a big, you know, terrible death. So I want us to go now to 1 Peter, the second chapter, and we're going to read in verse 24 of chapter 2. Let's see. We're going to go back a little bit. Let's go to verse 21. It says, For even unto hereto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that should follow, that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Praise the Lord. That's such a beautiful thing. So God, he promised, even in the Old Testament, he promised that a Messiah would come and that there would be a deliverance for the people. And that's exactly, but boy, did they ever fight that, didn't they? The Jews were one of some of the biggest characters, worst characters, to really just punish or try to hurt Jesus all the time. So let's go to the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. We are studying Isaiah in our ladies' meeting. We're going to go to the 11th chapter. We're going to read verses 1 through 5. And there shall come forth a rod. And in the word rod, it actually means a shoot out of the stem of Jesse. So with rod, we don't have the same meaning as out of Jesse, that was David's father, has come forth Jesus. Jesus was a descendant of King David, and it's very, very often that he's mentioned. And a branch shall grow out of his roots, And so he's often called these names. Jesus is the branch. It's alive. He's alive. And he is living for us. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. These are things that were going to happen to Jesus when he came on the earth. Isaiah 11 is written in 713 BC, 713. So that's a long time before Jesus came. But he's prophesying this because the Lord has given him this information, that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And that's so true of our Lord Jesus, how faithful he was. Just go about the people trying to help them all the time, give them good new thoughts. So the Spirit of counsel, how many times did Jesus counsel people? He really did. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And when we see that word fear, that word in the original says it means reverential obedience. Reverential obedience. I hope that's really what each of us feels about the Lord. Lord God, our Father, and Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. To think of him and be in very reverent obedience to God, because it's a blessing. It's just blessing our life by that. And then in verse 3, and he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And that's exactly one of the things that they found with Jesus. He just knew everything. And even though they tried to hide things from him, he knew what they were doing. He knew what they needed, didn't he? And you know, that's the way we are with him. He knows exactly what we need. He's a faithful Lord God, Lord Jesus, so faithful. And so as it says, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. He doesn't do it that way. He knows us. We are the children of the living God, and Jesus Christ is our Savior. Praise the Lord. And so, glory to God. I just want to read, let's see, let's go ahead and read 4. With righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity. Everybody knows what that means. For the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And that's going to happen. Revelation 19:11 tells us that the people who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to experience terrible things on this earth. But you know what? We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven at that point, but in the tribulation, it's what it's called. But Jesus is that one that he has that authority. And verse 5, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So, you know, it's just describing Jesus. We're studying Isaiah, as I said, and when I get to these thoughts about Jesus and how he, you know, just all little places all the way through here where Isaiah just was blessed of God just to write down things about Jesus, and he did never see Jesus, you know, as precious. Hallelujah. So, hail the King of the Jews. He was terribly punished. There's another verse that's Zechariah 9:9, and it says this, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of a foal of an ass. Now that really happened. This was written way, way back there in Old Testament, what I just read. But in New Testament, Matthew 25:31, he sat upon that colt and rode into Jerusalem. He was showing that he was the Son of God, and he was willing to do that. But there also is a verse, Matthew 25:31. It says, then shall he set upon his throne of his glory. So they thought, they were saying, you know, when he was riding on that donkey, oh yeah, look at there, there's Jesus. He's really wonderful, you know. But a lot of them didn't really believe. And so the Lord had to just move forward and keep, and God knew, didn't he? God knew and Jesus knew exactly who would obey and who would follow the Lord and who would not. So in, this is something I wrote. It says, Jesus was a king during his whole trial. Makes me almost want to cry. He was not on the trial, but was trying mankind. What will you say? Are you still going to beat me? Are you still going to put thorns on my head? Are you going to punish me and hang me on that cross and drive terrible things? And imagine Jesus being naked on the cross. That is just, oof. That's sickening to me to think of that. Praise the Lord. I want to go back now to the book of Psalms, and we're going to read a few verses back here. We're going to go to chapter 2. All through Psalms, a lot of it is written by David. We know that, the king, David, read the Old Testament. And he's mentioned so much in the life of Jesus because Jesus is a relative. In his natural state, he's a relative of David. And so that's, Mary was a relative of David, and so was Joseph, two different ones. That's always an amazing thing. All right, so we're here in the book of Psalms, and let's look in chapter 2, and we're going to read. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Who is the anointed? Christ. He's anointed to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet many, many people in this world just go against Christ. In our United States, terrible. Let us break their bands asunder. This is what he's talking about here, and cast away their cords from us. I don't know if that's meaning that the rulers of the world are saying that to us or if we're saying that to them. But he that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. That's confusion. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy mountain of Zion. Now here we are clear in the Old Testament, but we have this precious psalm. It's like God talking. God has his king. God has his king. And that Lord Jesus is going to be the king of all this earth very, very soon. I believe it's very soon. And I hope and pray all of us are ready. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Praise the Lord. He was the Son of God before he came to the earth. But imagine being born like a little baby in that old stable thing. But his mom and his dad, the natural dad, his dad was God. But it was precious that the Lord was there. He was God's son. And we find that constantly in the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You hear about Jesus. You hear about all the times he healed the sick, all the times he helped somebody that didn't have any help and needed food and all those things. Thou shalt break them, verse 9. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, this is the people of the earth that are just not following, as we see there in verse 8. Ask of me, I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Be wise, verse 10. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is so beautiful, isn't it? Praise the Lord. I looked up the word kiss, and it's an imagining. It's very interesting sometimes when a verse that we think, when, you know, kiss the Son, we're thinking, okay, we're supposed to go out and kiss Jesus on the cheek or something. But when we look at that, it says equipped. That word kiss there means to equip with weapons. So you can look it up yourself sometimes, see. Because God is going to come, and Jesus is going to come. God sends his Son Jesus down here, and there's going to be 7 years of tribulation and terrible, terrible things happening in this world. But praise the Lord. We will be in heaven. I'm always thankful to that. Glory [S2] Yeah. [S1] To God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's see. I only have about 4 more pages of notes, and I think I'm going to just have this be one that we do another time. But I just want to emphasize that Jesus Christ, he's just so wonderful. He's so faithful and helpful to us. And on this day when we're celebrating the birth of little Lord Jesus, what an amazing thing. Most of us would never be in some kind of barn having our baby. That was just something unthought of. But praise the Lord that Jesus came down to this earth, the Holy Spirit, the angel of God speaking to Mary, his mother, was she willing? She was. She was a young woman, too, and didn't have a boyfriend, and at that point she didn't. And she said, let it be to me, just as you said, Lord God. Just let it be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.